Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with a special guest, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. I'm typically sitting in studio with Roger, and we're looking forward to having Roger back, Lord willing, next week. But I'm especially glad to be joined by one of our shepherds here at Charlestown Road, Brent Dinsford. Brent, I know you do a lot of listening to this podcast, but I appreciate you being willing to step behind the microphone and have this conversation with me.
Well, hello, Jason. I am just thrilled to be with you today. Thank you for that kind introduction. You are correct. I am one of your loyal listeners, and I just, on behalf of your many listeners, want to say thank you to you and Roger. Just for the great work that you do. You know, we talk oftentimes with our church family about the importance of habits and rhythms and how do we really connect ourselves to God. And I just appreciate this rhythm that you've put us in through the last year. It's hard to believe that you're in your 13th month now of this series. And it's just a thrill to be with you today. And so thank you for that wonderful work that you have done.
Well, I appreciate it very, very much.
Well, you know, let me get us kicked off, Jason. You had just a wonderful, wonderful sermon this past Sunday, The Cornerstone. If our listeners have not had a chance yet to listen to that, I would highly encourage they go out to our website at charlestownroad.org and pick up that sermon, The Cornerstone. You kicked off with just a fascinating contrast. You went to 1 Peter chapter 1, and you spoke to us about the good news of the gospel in verse 25, and that good news that was preached. And then you took us back a bit to the early part of 1 Peter chapter 1, and you began to make a contrast of this good news being a living hope, but also the opposite of that, the dead resignation. Maybe that's a good place for us to start our conversation today, this contrast of a living hope and a dead resignation.
It helps me when I'm trying to understand and grasp the weight of these God-breathed words. Sometimes it helps me to look at their opposites. And that makes the truth of what is being revealed hopefully even more valuable. And so I spent a little bit of time. Living is easy to find the opposite of. That's dead. But hope, I went back and forth on that word for a while and landed on resignation. And the more that I thought about dead resignation, sadly, I think that describes where a lot of people are in their mindset, in their outlook for the future. When you're struggling with dead resignation, you just feel like giving up. You're not growing. Maybe you have distant hopes of growing sometime way out in the future, but you've called off the personal building. You can't imagine making a lot of progress now, and honestly, maybe you're even struggling just with caring at the moment. That is dead resignation, and that is not the hope of the gospel. I love that Peter, Paul, James, John, they all have unique ways of introducing their epistles to us. And I think Peter's is one of my favorite, that he blesses God, he draws attention to God, and immediately gets into this good news. Peter was not a perfect man. We've got a number of his faults and foibles listed throughout the New Testament. But here he is as a veteran disciple of Jesus, unashamedly talking about the possibility of living hope. That is very, very good news. And I figured a good way to start our time in God's Word on Sunday morning.
Well, it absolutely was, Jason. And I love how you pick that concept up and that contrast up. And you begin to take us then into chapter 2 of 1 Peter. And the so, as you mentioned in one translation, another translation may be therefore, but the thought continues. And so Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And, you know, first of all, when you just park on that for a moment and you think about what Peter is saying here, it's interesting that those sins that he mentions there are very much common sins that that hurt relationships. When we have malice and when we have guile and we have hypocrisy and we have envy, it's hurting the relationships that we have with one another. And when you think about this dead resignation, you know, we've went through a year where that plays out. We're kind of frustrated with the situation. We get frustrated with one another, the tensions that are around us and in our society. It's often easy for, you know, for those sins to really, you know, really encompass us. And so Peter calls that out. But you really drew back to a sermon from a week ago to really say this is the Lord's work of holy demolition. How do we remove those things? Or if you look at the translation, it really is saying, how do you strip those things away from our life? So maybe take us from there just a bit further into your sermon and how you really began to unpack that.
Yeah, I don't know of anyone who would say things like malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, especially when they are directed at me. That's not good news, right? I might have some rationale, probably pretty weak, as to why maybe I feel entitled of having those things, but especially when they're being directed at me. That's not good news. And of course, Scripture, Jesus especially, and his apostles have a way of getting us deeper than the outside, deeper than our skin, down into to the level of our hearts, that these things have got to be rooted out if we are going to be the children of God that we can and should and must be. He goes on from there to talk about growing up into salvation. Well, that's a beautiful idea. But trying to do that with a heart full of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, and so on, that's going to be like trying to build on the sand, right? And it's not going to last. I'm not going to be able to grow the way that God wants me to be able to grow if those things are festering in my heart. And I'm not going to be able to participate in what he is building if I'm in the bondage of this bitterness that he is talking about. He's encouraging us to set these things aside. I mean, we could use a variety of metaphors. This is weight that needs to be lost. These are chains that need to be dropped and left behind in order to build what God wants me to build. You and I both have been going through Roger's class on Nehemiah that is released each weekend, and trying to imagine building a wall with one hand tied behind your back. That wouldn't work very well, right? But that's the sort of thing here, that if I'm holding on to all of this relational ugliness, as I think you very well described it, while trying to build, not only are my efforts going to be hindered, but my heart isn't going to be in it, and eventually, I'm going to give up.
Well, and I love the way you said that, and I want to take us back to the context of how Peter is writing to these Christians. He is writing to Christians who are being persecuted, whose very lives are being threatened for their faith, and yet he is saying, strip away this bitterness that you may be feeling against those that are persecuting you. He goes on to verse 3, and he says something quite remarkable when you think about it in the context of those that were being persecuted. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, then do exactly what you just said, right? Grow and be developing. And you know, it would be hard for those Christians to be thinking about the kindness of the Lord when their very lives are being threatened. And so all of that is just great context, this contrast between a living hope and a dead resignation, this concept of this holy demolition, you know, stripping away these relational sins, tasting the kindness of our Lord. All of those are pointing us to really the headline of the sermon. How do we do that? Well, we've got to go directly to the cornerstone.
Right.
Why don't you take us from there?
Yes, and I love how the Holy Spirit leads Peter and preserves for us that this cornerstone is living. And when I come in contact with that cornerstone, he is able to make me alive. It's a convergence of several different beautiful strands of Scripture where new birth is available, where resurrection is available, transformation is available, all because I, broken and frustrated and plagued with some of those heart issues that we've already talked about, come to this cornerstone on his terms. He is the one provided by God. And when I come to him, he absolutely transforms my life and brings me into this glorious eternal purpose of God. And so I went back and just traced where Peter is quoting from in 1 Peter chapter 2. He tells us in verse 6, he makes the statement, it stands in Scripture. And I think it's easy sometimes for us as modern readers just to keep reading and not pause and note where these things are coming from. He takes us back, for instance, to Isaiah 40. Or Isaiah 28, first of all, and mentions the idea that God is the one who is laying this stone. He takes us back to Psalm 118 and remarks how, or reminds us how this stone was going to be rejected by many of the builders in Israel's history. He takes us back to Isaiah chapter 8 and how this stone is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. We can go back in our Gospels. We can read in Matthew chapter 21 or in parallel accounts of the Gospel how Jesus takes his hearers back to these Old Testament prophecies and applies these to himself. We can hear Paul and or Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 drawing specific attention to many of these builders in Israel that Jesus is the stone. We can go back to Romans chapter 9 and we can hear Paul picking up the same metaphor and remarking how many people of his own nation have indeed stumbled over this stone. It really does stand in Scripture. This is something God has done. Some are going to choose to build upon it. Some are going to stumble over him. And the full weight of what Peter is doing is drawing our attention to this rich biblical history and then saying, okay, now that you understand that, what are you going to do in relation to this stone?
Such a powerful, powerful concept, that concept of a cornerstone. You made the point that it's the first stone laid in a new construction. Yeah. You made the point that it is... It defines the very shape of the building. All other stones are oriented around it. It is such a powerful analogy of what Christ is saying for our lives. We are to go to that first stone. We are to build and shape our life around him as our center stone, as our cornerstone. And every aspect of our life should be centered around that. And so it is really not only a powerful concept, it really is what should be driving our decisions in our lives every day of thinking about our Lord, thinking about that cornerstone of our life, continuing to ask ourselves, is our life shaped as the cornerstone of Christ and as he has laid out for us? And so, you know, that may be a good place for us just to step off for a moment and maybe explore that just a bit, Jason. As you think a little bit about, you know, the way we get ourselves into a mess, the way we get ourselves disoriented, the way we get ourselves out of alignment with that cornerstone, why do you think that occurs? Why is it so difficult for us to stay centered on Jesus as a cornerstone, given how clear the Scriptures are? Why do we struggle with that?
Yeah, I think that stretches all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and we have so much material in God's Word that emphasizes to us So often we are our own worst enemies. Self gets in the way. I hear what God has said. I know what God has said. I can recite what God has said. But I make the conscious choice to do something different. I either convince myself I know better or I deserve this. Maybe God is trying to withhold something from me and I don't like that idea. I think, well, he has given this warning, but I know what I'm doing, and even if I am stepping into forbidden, dangerous territory, I've got a hold on this, a handle on this, and when I'm done, I'll get right back, and it won't be that big of a deal. I mean, so many different excuses and rationalizations that we've all indulged and felt the consequences of, perhaps hurt other people in the process. This is the story of humanity that makes that good news of 1 Peter chapter 1 so necessary.
And I would add to that another passage, a passage we use frequently, a passage that we all know well, but in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Recall the words of Paul, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world." That concept that Paul provides to us really illustrates that if you choose to do nothing, you're going to be conformed by the world. You have to actively fight against being conformed to the world. And I think that's one of our problems. We are apathetic. Yeah. We do not lean into taking the actions and the protections and setting the guardrails in our lives so that we're not conformed to this world. And I think, you know, this verse 2 of Romans chapter 12 is such a contrast to the concept of the cornerstone. Jesus is the first stone. He is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone by which we are to build our life. And yet, if we choose to be apathetic, we choose not to lean into his word and grow with him and do nothing, the world is going to shape the direction of our life. It is going to set into motion every aspect of our life. And that's the contrast. Do nothing, the world will conform you. It'll be your center stone. Or obey Jesus.
Yeah.
Get close to Jesus. Connect with him and your life will be aligned with him.
Yeah, in the very last couple of minutes of that sermon, I just threw out a couple of things that both Roger and I are very much planning on taking us into the next step, what it looks like to have your life oriented around that stone, your very sense of self. You're talking about the world. We live in such a confused world, even at the most fundamental levels of gender and identity and sexuality, friendships and work ethic and influence and goals and marriage. What's it look like to have a marriage built on this cornerstone and a home and my entire outlook for the future? The world has a way. I like how you mentioned it earlier, that if I do nothing, I'm not remaining static. I'm not just, okay, in time out where nothing is being affected. The world has a way of eroding those things. And living things don't erode, right? Healthy things don't deteriorate. That's why it is so important that I come to this stone and remain joined to this living stone so that he truly defines and fuels everything. Brent, I appreciated you brought up in just our very brief recap of this before hitting the record button, you brought up a parallel passage in the Gospel of Luke chapter 20 and verse 18 that I thought was very good. I briefly went back to Matthew's account in Matthew 21, Jesus giving us this parable of the wicked tenants. You brought up Luke's parallel account and this haunting statement in verse 18 of Luke 20, everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. When you read that statement, what do you think it means to be broken to pieces by this stone or crushed by this stone?
Well, Jason, this context is coming from Luke 20, as you said, and it really is a parallel passage to what you brought up in your sermon. Jesus is addressing the scribes and the Pharisees, those who with authority that were challenging the authority of Jesus. And so he takes them through this parable of the vine grower, which you referenced in your sermon. But he does end up here in this account in Luke with this, as you stated, I think very appropriately, a very haunting statement. And when I think about the importance of this concept of what Jesus has said here, everyone who falls on that stone will be broken into pieces, and whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. We think and pray for our church family every day, and our hearts are constantly helping to try to shepherd our church family to the cornerstone, to build their lives off the cornerstone. And I think this verse is just such a stark reason why that's the case. The implications are serious. It's not an option whether we choose Jesus as our center stone or our cornerstone. It is not an option at all. What Jesus is saying here is the wicked will fall. Those that have chosen to build their lives outside of that cornerstone, they're out of alignment with Christ, will not inherit eternal life. They will be broken. They will be scattered. That analogy, I think, is very intentional by Jesus to say there is no hope for those that choose to build their life around their own desires, around their own wishes, around what this world would have them to do. And so I think it's an eternal importance that we are thinking about the cornerstone of our life and aligning our lives with Jesus. It is the good news, as you said. Our God loves us. Our God has done everything possible to reconcile us to him. He is a holy God. He is a just God. He cannot deal with sin, and so he has done everything possible to cleanse us, to wash us, that we might be able to stand in a relationship with him. And he says here, build your life around the cornerstone which I've given you, or there will be consequences eternally. And so I just think it's a very powerful passage here that Jesus uses this analogy, and I think it's something that all of us need to think about. That's what we think about every day as we're trying to help shepherd this church. We want the best for everyone. We want them to enjoy the good news of the gospel. We want them to enjoy eternal life in heaven.
Very well said. When I read that verse, I thought of a couple of weeks ago. I was outside. It was a little warm for January. It was sunny that particular day, and so I went outside to take down some Christmas lights. And I had this long strand, and I had gotten a part of it down and thought I had everything ready to go, but the opposite end of that strand fell off of the gutter, and it immediately hit the concrete. And you can imagine when those glass bulbs from 15 feet up or whatever fall on concrete, they just shatter, right? And we feel at times as if we're pretty strong, we've got everything under control, we've got this, even in the midst maybe of a difficult season, I know what I'm doing. But what Jesus himself is revealing here is there's going to come a time that I come in contact directly with this stone. Now, I can come in contact with him broken and humble and penitent, coming to him on his terms. And what I find is good news. He is willing to be my gracious Savior and provide this living hope. But what I hear from you, and I think very accurately so, if I ignore him, if I fail to honor him, if I am determined to live in whatever way I want to live, the day will come when my little glass life comes in contact with this stone, and I will be shattered because I have chosen to ignore life the way it was meant to be. I especially appreciate you sharing from the the heart of a shepherd. And I know that you and the other five men who serve in this capacity, you do pray for us and for this church family each and every day. I know that your great desire is that everyone would orient their lives around this cornerstone. Thank you so much for filling in Roger's chair today. It's been great to be with you. If you had any just closing thoughts from the heart of a shepherd who wants people to hear this message from 1 Peter, what would you leave people with?
Well, I would take us back to where you started, Jason. I love the concept of the living hope. And if ever there was a time that we need hope in our life, it is now. And thinking about this just tremendous love of our Lord, this cornerstone for us to build our life around, that's where I would leave people, thinking about the wonderful, wonderful peace that comes with having hope of eternal life and having our Lord to build our life around. And so that's our desire. We're here to assist any way that we can, and we hope that people will reflect upon that. You know, Jason, before I close out, I just do want to say thank you for having me today, and I appreciate the opportunity. It's been my honor to fill in for Roger. Again, Lord willing, he'll be back with us next week. But I would like to just highlight that tonight we'll have our midweek Bible study, and we would love for people to join us at charlestonroad.org or on our Facebook page or on our YouTube channel. And we will be continuing our series, Rise and Build, Reflections from the Joseph Story. And tonight, we are going to tackle the topic of distinguishing between rubble and rubies. And it's going to be a good study. We hope that you'll join us tonight as we are taking ourselves through the life of Joseph and really thinking about how we can look at the times in our life where we have rubble and how can we turn that around and look at the opportunity and the rubies that are before us. So we hope that you'll join us tonight, 7 p.m. On our charlestonroad.org and our other channels. So we look forward to seeing you there.
Absolutely. Thank you very, very, very much for that, Brent. It has been great to have this conversation with you. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're already looking forward to Sunday, already plenty of work that is going into our Bible classes for the weekend, our assembly. We would love to have you join us at 9:30 a.m. in person, but as Brent mentioned, if you're unable to be here with us in the flesh, we hope that you'll tune into that live stream on Sunday, the best day of the week. More than anything, we hope that you will continue to build on this cornerstone, build as a living stone to the glory of God. We hope that our conversation today has helped you along those lines, and that you have a great rest of the day. We'll talk to you soon.